from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anybody else who's listening. It's me, Lee G. Banks, sitting on the zit on the postulating nose of the face of the universe, the wonderful UK. And in the blue corner, in the relativity of a hot, steamy evening, it's the darling of Darwin, Rachel Brunsdon.
Good evening, Lee. Good evening, Petra. Good evening, listeners. Good evening, all.
I've not announced Petra yet.
Oh no! I just thought I'd slip it in early because we always miss her.
Like, yeah, it always takes you 5 minutes to say my name.
I thought about it. I'm a very thoughtful person today, and hello, Uncle Eric, wherever you may be.
I'm not mentioning him yet either.
Well, Rachel done him now.
I'm sick of the heat. I'm over it. Bye.
No, I'll stay. Ladies and gentlemen, was the incredible Rachel Brunsdon in the blue corner, and in the even bluer corner, in the White Ridge Mountains of Slovakia, it's the wonderful, the inimitable, the glorious girl on a motorcycle, Petra!
Hiya!
Oh, what's your last name, Petra, or are we not allowed to say in case the police or the bailiffs get you?
My last name.
What is your called?
No. Chuck Norris has the same name.
Who does?
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's why you're on a motorcycle, then, isn't it?
It's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah, you can be who you want, Petra. You
exactly.
Just keep hiding from the law.
I got stopped by the police twice in last like 7-8 days.
Why? What for?
One was going the wrong way.
I mean, I take it you mean up a street.
No, you know, they just put their sign saying you shouldn't be going there, and that was a new one. And I was used to going that way. It was just like, well, I'm used to going this way, so why did you put the sign there?
did you?
Yeah, I paid €10. It was just fine.
And €10? That's £7.50. That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, that was great.
Hey, I got a fine the other day for going a wee little bit too fast in my car before it was stolen. Now it goes not fast at all because it's wrecked, but I paid $220 for the privilege
Woohoo!
Of going a little
but
bit too fast.
Rachel...
Yes.
How could you drive fast if your car got stolen?
Oh, this was pre-thievery.
So it's ages ago.
Yeah, it was I think it was the beginning of March or something.
This one's just happened to Petra. She's talking news. We're supposed to be a news program.
I
not
know.
Something happened in March.
Oh, okay, because I forget when Eric's here, we're constantly raving on about history. So
that's why we don't have Eric here anymore.
Hang on, I've not mentioned Eric yet. I've not told the ladies and gentlemen he's not here. They've not gathered it yet.
Well, he's Where not he? Here, but I miss him. You know, it's lonely here without him. Eric, hi.
I can imagine. Petra, he's come to me.
I know. Enjoy.
He's left you and come to me.
Did he?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Eric Wiltshire, that gloriously funny chappy who usually is on this show, is over in the UK. And tomorrow, he and I will be meeting up with a load of celebrities. But we're not saying who they are because we've got to save that. And that's why he's here and not there. Or not there. Or not here, but there.
But not presently present. And
yeah, I hope he brings me some presents for the first time.
Make sure you take lots of photos.
What, of Eric?
No,
when you're at your super celebrity gathering.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant like do a big sort of landscape of him.
No, God, no. Nobody needs to see that. I mean the glitterati, darling. The glitterati.
If he gets his glitterati out, I'm off.
Yeah, actually, don't take a picture of his glitterati. Take a picture of the assembled glitterati when you meet the celebs. I want to know. I want to see proof that you actually had rubbing shoulders.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, we don't believe you. You're just saying it and making it
up. Just make stuff up.
We're not going to Legoland. You don't construct the celebrities. They're there waiting for you, hanging on your every word, waiting to shake your slippery ass.
There shouldn't be any problem taking photos of the. It's the age of the mobile phone and the selfie. Click, click, click. Everybody's doing it.
And Eric has a brand new phone, so he should be able to use it.
Does he indeed? What's he got then?
I'm not able to say it.
See.
We are not commercial station.
We are not a commercial station. No, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody listens to us. Actually, that's untrue because we've got to say hello to Replay Radio, Breeze Radio, Talk Radio X and all the rest. Honest to God, I got in trouble 3 weeks ago or a month ago for not saying them all. I can't remember who they are. There's
Audio Boo, Spreaker. They're the only two I ever remember. You got the rest, I think.
Yeah, exactly. There's hundreds of them, ladies. You can pick us up anywhere you want. Anyway, shall we get on with this show? Because otherwise, he'll be nagging me again when he goes in tomorrow.
No. We cannot get on with it because I'm quite interested what happened to Rachel's car.
Oh, aye, of course.
Well, we know Rachel. What happened to it, but how did you get on, Rachel?
Well, the last time we spoke, they had actually the police had found it. If you recall, they'd found it in a less than poor condition. It was well knackered. It was in deep trouble.
It had been an outback, hadn't it?
Yeah, it had gone on what we fondly call in Australia a bush bash, and it had really been pulverised within an inch of its life. So. Today we had the absolute torturous, almost dental type experience with the investigator. He came around and asking a million questions with his little tape recorder. And honestly, I felt like I was the criminal. I thought I'm the victim of this crime.
That's right. And I know it's terrible, isn't it?
It's an interrogation, and luckily I was there because they were actually there to interview Rob because it's Rob's insurance and it's his car. It's not in my name. But I'm the only one who can remember that night with great detail for two reasons. Number one, the trauma, and number two, my propensity to have OCD. So I remember times and dates and facts like that, like almost like a savant. So I was handy to have around. Encyclopedic was my memory. But I really felt almost, not violated, but I felt like I was being interrogated by this man who was, I'm sure he was just trying to do his job. But the thing that I didn't like about it was that, and the more people talked to me about it, police, insurance, assessors, the rest of the crew that asked the questions they have to ask, I have to keep reliving this thing over and over and over. And it just reminds me that there were creepy criminals in my house stealing our possessions, could have killed us, didn't, thank goodness, and stole our stuff. And that's all that I get reminded of.
So what's the situation you're in now?
Well, the situation now is that they're going to take their – the little man with his little tape recorder is going to take his findings off, and he actually did and then came back to Rob with a whole bunch of other questions, which he could have asked us at the time, but I think he was a bit strange, but that's all right. So we'll find out probably in the next week how much they plan on giving us back. They haven't even done a proper assessment of it, so we don't even know if it's written off. Yeah. So we're still waiting on that. But in the meantime, we've still got the rental car. Nobody was killed.
Well, that's
we've got new locks on the doors. We've got a new alarm system. We keep Gordy pretty hungry most of the time so that he's a bit more ferocious, even though he's the smallest dog on the planet. But, you know, we've done everything we can do.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? I'll tell you, it's just an interesting point. I assume the insurance works the same in Australia as it does over here. And about 2 years ago, the illustrious Andrea had her car written off. Now, there was no criminal intent in it or anything like that. It wasn't nicked. It was just written off on the road. And I think, just say, I can't remember what the figures are, but say the car was worth £5,000. The insurance assessment came in at £1,700. So from having a 5,000 or a car that had cost us £5,000 sitting outside the post office in the village, all of a sudden we had £1,750 to spend on a car. So we were. So really, in a split second of bad driving on the side of the idiot who wrote our car off, he'd actually cost us £3,250. That's how much his driving had taken out of mine and Andrea's pocket. And that's what happens to everybody who ends up in these situations where their property has been damaged and they're claiming on the insurance. Now, it's a bit different when it's a criminal thing, but in these circumstances, this is a top tip for you, ladies and gentlemen. Go and talk to the person who damaged your property. We told the bloke who wrote our car off that if he didn't pay up the difference between what the car had cost us and how much it was worth to us on the road and the what the insurance had paid out, that we would sue him for the amount. We did know he got money, so it was a bit easier than generally, but it, as a matter of principle, and we got the money. The car was worth $5,000 to us, and by the end of the day, we had got $5,000 for that car. And anybody can do that. You might not always win because of their own personal circumstances, but in principle, you should have a go at it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the assessors said to us, the investigator said to us, if they do catch the people who are responsible, the insurance company will bring a lawsuit against those criminals. And I thought...
Yeah, but that's only to
like $2.50 a week for the rest of their lives. I'm sure they're gonna, you know, what are you gonna garnish?
Exactly.
Their buy up in prison. Like, what's gonna happen with that? But the car was
worth a bit of garnish on it.
Exactly. Yes, a bit of parsley never hurt anybody. And we paid $44,500 for the car new, and there's only $29,000 left to pay on finance.
That's what I mean. It's costing you a lot of money.
Yeah, but anyway, the market value of the car now is about $32,000. So I think we'll still win.
Yeah, you should do all right. Listen, let's ask Petra if we can get on with this show now because she refused.
Yeah, can we?
Can we go on?
Sure.
Right. I think one thing we need to mention, which has a little bit of a link to Australia, obviously, is the tragic death at 62 of Camilla Parker Bowles' brother Mark Shand, who amazingly got trapped in a revolving door at a bar in New York and fell and bashed his head and unfortunately has died. Simple as that. So, you know, has there been any reaction over there? Yeah, a real freak accident, yeah.
Yeah, real freak accident. Very little media coverage of this at all. But a little bit, I think the little bit that we did get was mostly because the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge are here.
Yeah, been out there, yeah.
So, I think there was a bit of a tie-in with that, but only two of the online media outlets mentioned it. One isn't worth reading, and the other was ABC Online, and they did mention, and they're a really good publication. So we did get a little bit of news, but it wasn't a massive big deal. I was actually quite surprised. I thought there'd be more about that.
Yeah, he wasn't. He's not a major, or wasn't a major player in the great gamut of British royalty. But you know, he was quite important. And with the fact that the family is split across the world at the moment on official visits, it's a tragic thing to happen. And the way it happened was awful. He was a travel writer, which is, you know, basically what I am. And he was also a conservationist and set up the Elephant Family Foundation. And
he's more attractive than his sister, too. Of the two brothers, I prefer him.
Oh dear. Camilla, I'm so sorry. This young lady's from Australia, you know. That's where all the criminals live.
That's right.
We sent them there, Camilla, to protect you.
Keep them there.
Right. Anyway, let's move on to another story, a sad story, but not a sad story. Tell me what you think about this story. The brave Stephen Sutton, who's 19, from Burntwood in Staffordshire, which is just up the road from me. I've never met him, obviously I'm not saying that. But it's a tragic story where he was diagnosed with bowel cancer at the age of 15.
That's horrible. And,
yeah, incredible. At 15, what an awful thing. But this lad, give him his due, said that he got a bucket list. And he wrote down all the things he wanted to do. It included skydiving, it included all sorts of things like that, you know, the sort of things that 15-year-old lads want to do. And basically, he fulfilled that bucket list. But one, the top thing on the bucket list was that he would raise money for to help other children who suffer from cancer. And a few days ago, I think it was on Tuesday this week, he posted what everybody now believes to be his final blog entry. And it just said, very simply, "That's it from me. But life has been good, very good."
And I love that.
Yeah, it is. It's a good thing. But he raised at that point.
It's a great attitude. Yeah, a lot of money.
Well, he'd raised at that point, what he'd raised when he sent that message out, he'd raised £400,000-ish. And on the basis of that last blog going out on social media, a lot of British comedians like Thingy Mountford, can't remember his first name, Jimmy Carr and all sorts of people like that, got behind him. And within hours, basically, they'd almost tripled that amount to 1.4 million. And they helped him do it. But this is down to Stephen Sutton from Burntwood in Staffordshire.
I love that his attitude was, because, you know, this, it's so easy when you get sick to just lie down and, you know, point the bone at yourself and just, die. There's not, you think that, you know, you give up, there's no reason, there's, and particularly when you're a young kid, it all seems a bit bleak. But he just said, he had this, not going to do that attitude, and good for him. Not only did he accomplish everything on his bucket list, he set this target of £10,000 to raise this money, absolutely smashed it, and then after he died, it got doubly, triply smashed.
He's not actually dead yet.
I apologise for that. Sorry, that's me preempting. That's it from me, but life has been good. I mean, what a great, what a fantastic thing to say. I mean, what more needs to be said?
How do you feel about it, Petra? What do you think?
I don't know. I was thinking, you know, what I would do if I was 15 and been said to I have cancer. I mean, he must have a great support of his family. That's the first thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think the most important also. Obviously, he didn't give up after he's been said such a news, bad news.
No.
And done a great job of it, you know.
I think so. There was a young lad actually in Poprad about 3 years ago, wasn't there, who suffered from cancer and was about to die. And he had one wish, which was to visit Manchester United in the UK.
Yeah, and watch the game. Yeah. But he was, I think he was younger than this one, definitely.
Yeah, but he had his wish come true. We won't go into the details, but somebody very close to us all actually made that dream come true for him, didn't they? So it's a good thing. Anyway, we have to explain now that Mr. Wiltshire, you know, that eponymously, gorgeously strange man who's now waiting for me just down the road, has entrusted us with this show. So we have to be sensible and discuss things fully and frankly and with intelligence. And with
Frankly,
he's coming on in a minute.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, he's just standing down waiting for me red light to go out.
He's always late. I really get annoyed with Frankly.
So anyway, so here we go, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Now we're going to be serious. So what do we think about that pompous, pretty, gentleman sausage, Nicholas Farage, then?
I don't like him. After the last story, I don't know a lot about him because, quite frankly, I don't care about your politics. But having said that, when we talked about him last time, he's a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous man. And I think he should be gagged with a fish.
What do you mean, gagged, like with a rope?
Yeah, shove it, instead of one of those ball gags like Pulp Fiction, like shove a trout in his mouth and then gaffer tape his head.
Silly old trout, you can't say that. Stick a trout in his mouth. His breath would be awful because he smokes as well, you know. Yeah, anyway.
Well, he can have smoked trout.
Well, it's the reason we're going on about it, everybody, is because I'm sure you've seen the stories, but Nicholas Farage has become one of the most important political figures in the UK at the moment. Incredibly, as far as I'm concerned, unbelievably, that we can't say he's a racist. It would be wrong to say he's a racist, but the UKIP party over the past few years has garnered this reputation for having like tough feelings towards immigrants and people coming across the Euro borders into the UK. A lot of us feel that way. But that's the way it is. That's the law. That's what the law says we can do. And we go across there. The English go across to Slovakia. We go across to Poland. We go across to Spain. We go across to France. We do all this. And in return, people come here and take jobs and work, which is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Nicholas Farage has jumped on the back of this and has actually started to garner major, major, major power and votes, and could end up as an MP, and could end up as a, he could end up with a lot of power. And he had this advertising campaign, right, which basically said, stop these people coming over and taking our jobs. He also had an advertising campaign where there was a very attractive young lady in probably her mid-20s saying how wonderful Nicholas Farage was and how she would vote for him and all these sort of things. Then there's all the furore or whatever that word's supposed to be about his expenses claims on the MEP. We don't know what the outcome of that is. But this week it came out that Nigel Farage, have I been calling him Nicholas? I think I have. Anyway, Nigel Farage.
Yeah, he's got no knickers.
Yeah, exactly. He has a German wife. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having a German wife at all. But when you're campaigning about foreigners coming into your country and taking the jobs that should go to us, to the people of that, the indigenous population, why, Nigel? Why have you given a job to your German wife?
Yeah. You know what this smacks of? I reckon he's mates with Tony Abbott. Our fair Prime Minister Tony Abbott, because he is banging on about the asylum seeker issue, which we know is a big deal. We've talked about it before. But he's banging on when he himself was not born in Australia.
Exactly. That's it. Let me just throw the second part into this issue, though, because I think also Petra should comment on this. Because
I'm skipping.
Don't be scared. I don't know anything about it.
The people in your country, Petra. That also, you remember, this bloke did an advertising campaign with a young girl, young lady, I should say, in her mid-20s, saying how wonderful he was and he was going to vote for her. Why, Nigel? Answer this question. Why was she a member of your publicity team? Why was she one of your PR girls? Why did you pretend that she was just a voter?
Yes.
And Nigel, also, where has the money gone? You say it was perfectly reasonable to take these expenses to run your office. I can't remember how much it was, but you must be running an incredible office for your German wife. And why did you take all that money, Nigel? Aren't these the questions you should be answering? So you're not talk about it then, Petra?
No.
nothing. She's appalled, as am I.
I know, yeah, well, it's just incredible. It is a funny thing, but the sad thing is...
Yeah, it's highest order. It really is.
Yeah, and the sad thing is that the British public are falling for it. They're falling for this kind of thing. It's just incredible. All right, let's move on then to the next one that's a bit touchy as well. What's happened here is that the UK, a couple of senior Tories have said that the UK is definitely a Christian country. Well, I never really doubted it, and I don't see why these people have got to say it, except for one reason. And that's, do you know, and I don't know how it happens in Australia or in Slovakia, but we no longer teach Christianity in our schools in the UK. What do we think to that?
We don't teach any Christianity or any religion of any kind in the public government schools. In some private schools, which are mostly Christian-based or based, they're Catholic, Lutheran. The private colleges, there's always some sort of religious aspect, but there's no religion taught in government schools anymore. The church and state thing has a lot to do with that, I would imagine. But we've never claimed to be anything other than a Christian country because we come from you blokes.
Well, exactly, absolutely, yeah. But is that a right thing that Christianity isn't taught in schools anymore?
I think it's okay if it's a government, if it's a public school, and there's a choice as to whether you want your child raised in a Christian or non-Christian formatted school. There are plenty of avenues for you to go down, whether you want your child to be educated in a Catholic school, a Protestant school, a Presbyterian school, a Lutheran school. They are all flavors of the rainbow schools. So there are plenty of opportunities, but it seems to me the opportunities go to those with money, because the only people who can afford to go to those private schools where it's taught are the people who are quite well to do. When I was a single parent with Beth, she went to a Catholic school to begin with, but only because my parents generously paid the fees for the first 2 years, and it wasn't that much. It was only a couple of thousand dollars because she was in baby school. But afterwards, I sent her to a public school. She had actually had no interest in that path with all that pastoral care kind of a deal anyway. But
Just let me interrupt you for a second, because we're coming into the last minute of the first half. What do you think, Petra? Is religion taught in the schools in Slovakia?
Yes, it is, even in public schools. But you as a parent can choose if you want your child to actually go to this class or not. They only have in it once a week, one lesson, so it's not that much. And you can decide if you want or not. Well, I must say, like my son... we wanted him to go, even we're not that religious family, but it was mainly because of my grandmother, and so we made him go.
Yeah.
And the teacher, or she's a nun, she was so horrible that she made my son completely hate going to this class. And he told me, "Mummy, if you ever send me to this class again, I'm not going to school." So basically we've stopped it. So it also depends how it's being taught.
True. Good point.
Yeah, well, it is. And we've got to remember that Christianity is the basic tenet of all life. You know, even if you don't believe it, it's still the basic way of living. Be kind to people, be nice to people. Well, I think that's it, isn't it? I think this half is now up. I think everybody has to go and make a cup of tea and do whatever else that Eric Wiltshire tells you to do in this break. And we'll see you in
a milkshake.
A milkshake, have a milkshake, shake your milk, shake it like it's your booty. Brilliant, let's go. We'll see you in a few minutes.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.